Well, happy anniversary. We typically celebrate Anniversary Sunday on the first Sunday in September because it's Labor Day and we're going to have a picnic anyway. But our anniversary is actually the second Sunday of September. And we moved it this year because of the send-off for David and Diane Knudsen last week. And they did arrive safely in Ecuador. And so we're grateful for that. And they survived the long bus ride. They were all awake except for Athan. So when they got the Aloha, they were ready for bed except for Athan. So I'm not sure how they handled that, but praise the Lord, they made it safely. And we rejoice in God's provision, His goodness and grace to us as a church, 34 years, and we celebrate what the Lord has done for us and how He has worked in our lives and brought us to this point. There are a couple of things that we typically do for Anniversary Sunday, and one is a year in review, and the other is acknowledging people who have been members here at Lakes for sometime, and so we'll be doing that, and I'm going to start with the year in review. And September 5th last year, we celebrated our Anniversary Sunday. It was a beautiful day, and some of you are keenly aware of the fact that we had a medical emergency that day. We were outside in a tent, and one of our young ladies passed out. And some of you weren't aware and just kept on with the service, but the safety team jumped into action. Medical personnel helped, the city was called and so forth, and she's fine and was fine that day, but a little situation to deal with. A year ago today, September 11th, Ellie Bostic was born, and congratulations to them. They finally got their girl, and we're happy for them. They're not here today out of town, but the 12th, we transitioned back to two services. During COVID, we added a third service, as you remember, so we could spread out a little bit more. And so when we got back into the routine of things in September, we went back to two services. September 17th, Allison Kendra was saved. Praise the Lord for that. And the 19th, we welcomed new members, Steve and Laura Shukard, Dennis and Cheryl Kosmowski, Noah and Catherine Beatty, Neil Heim, Brian Cross, Stephen and Becca McGee, Cheryl and Noah were baptized. October 3rd, we had another single service out back under a tent, and it rained. But the single service was a special occasion that we announced to you that our mortgage was paid off, and that was an exciting day for us as a church. We had our missions conference a month early last year. It was October 17th because Tim and Lisa Murdoch, that's when they could be there. Also, Jerry and Kelly Benj were with us. And it always amazes me, and when I look back and see missions conference offerings like this, the offering last year was over $61,000. And our missions conference is coming up the first week of November, just a month and a half from now. And we encourage you to give your biggest and best offering on that day. 51 weeks out of the year, we take care of the church budget. And one Sunday, we give everything to missions. And so that's coming up in about 6 weeks or so. Last year, October 31st, we had a trunk or treat for the first time. It rained. There's still a good turnout, but we had a number of visitors, and one family still continues to come to different events. They were here for Vacation Bible School. I believe they were here for the day camp, and their first contact, I think, was the trunk or treat. November 7th, we started Reclaiming the Family series, and there are a number of people who were blessed by that look at things from Scripture regarding the family. We had a visitor here this morning in the first service. She called, I think, on Thursday this week and to talk, And when I answered the phone and we talked for a minute, I said, good afternoon, this is Lakes Bible Church. And we talked for a minute, and she said, you're Pastor McGee. And I said, I am. And she said, I recognize your voice. I've been listening to your sermons, and the sermon series on reclaiming the family was an incredible blessing to me. And so she was here this morning in the first service, and we praise the Lord for that. On November 14th, Alex Decker and his mom were here for the first time. Also, Nick and Jessica Selden were here for the first time. And on November 21st, we had 40 people who were home, either sick with COVID or quarantining from COVID. December 5th, the week of December 5th, Burl had a stroke. Praise the Lord, she's doing well, and she was here in the first service. But it was an interesting week, that week of December, because that was the week of the false alarm at Walled Lake Central High School, supposedly a shooter on campus, which again turned out to be a false alarm. But there's nothing false about that if you're there or you have kids there, or even for those of us in the community who are thinking about, we may not know anybody there, but this is happening in my neighborhood or my community. And what a, you know, shock that was for us. And kind of along that line, there was a tragedy in Walled Lake this morning in our old sub, a shooting, a family. A guy shot his family, and this is where we live. This shouldn't happen. And the poor police officer who had to respond, you know, let's pray. Lord, all of us know somebody who lives in that sub, and we thank you that the Mosheris and the Peters are safe. We think of this family. Mom and dad and two girls. And just the shock, the horror, the heartache. And even if we don't want it, the reminder that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We pray for this girl, young woman, who apparently, or at least was still alive as of a few hours ago. But what's in store for her? I know nothing else about extended family, but Lord, this officer who was involved, the awfulness of being put in that position. I pray for him or them, the department, Chief Chikinis. Lord, somehow minister grace. And possibly use us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I texted with Chief Chikinis this morning, offered our help. We'll let you know. On December 12th, we had an elder open house, and which we were pleasantly surprised. There were 107 people who came to our home. And the other elders' houses. Craig Beery organized a Christmas band again, and we're grateful for that during the holidays. December 19th was a tragic week around Lakes. On Sunday morning, Don Bauer's wife Lois passed away. Don was in the first service. Jake Welliver's sister passed away. Jake also was in the first service. And Dylan Dargis's grandmother passed away. Dylan was also in the first service. And, you know, the reminder of this right now for us is that, you know, tragedy strikes in our lives from time to time. And the rest of the church needs to step up. You may not know who Don or Jake or Dylan are. You probably recognize Dylan from the drums, and you might recognize Jake because I think he's the biggest man in our church. But you may not know Don. He slips in quietly and very hard of hearing. And so it's not easy to talk to him, but it might be easy to overlook him. But all three of these men are important, and they were suffering, and it's always amazing when the church steps up to help. In January 28th, Aaron David Tanzillo was born. On Sunday, January 30th, we had a family dedication. The Donnellys, the McGees, Stephen and Becca, the Robertsons, and the Strelos were part of that family dedication. February 6th, we began 1 Corinthians. And that week, we also found out that our missionary in Russia, Sergei Mihailov, has cancer. I had limited contact with Lena, his wife, several times. But since the war in Ukraine, it's been difficult to have contact with them. But I know he's undergoing treatment. February 6th, Paul Gertis was here for the first time, was in the first service. On February 13th, Yuichi and Lydia were here for the first time with their family, as well as Peter. February 20th, we began a membership class with 15 people. February 27th, Jason and Stephanie Schuchard were here for the first time, and also that week Russia invaded Ukraine. In March 6th, we introduced the Missionary in Residence program. March 27th, we had an adoption fundraiser for lunch. Wendy Malinowski and her team did an excellent job organizing the day and the meal. And we praise the Lord for the money that we were able to raise to help families in our church adopt children. That Sunday, the parking lot overflowed. And so some of our men quickly moved some cars from the parking lot to the backyard. And we appreciate them being on top of things. We'd hate for someone to pull into the parking lot and not be able to find a place to park. April 3rd, the parking lot was full again. We welcomed new members, Ben and Maria Kondratov, Jim and Luda Kondratov, Abby McCormick, Nick and Jessica Salden, Scott and Debbie Ewers, Jake Welliver, and Peter Akinwuma, and I'm working on that name, and I apologize to him in the first service because I'm sure I butchered it. Allison Kendra and Tom Groders were baptized that day as well. April 17th, we had an Easter egg hunt. It was well attended, and then Easter, our Resurrection Sunday, we had 325 people here. April 23rd, Noah Victor Kondratov was born. April 24th, Brad Stilley taught the exchange to us. April 28th, Decker Road construction began, and I just want to say to you, thank you for being nice to the construction workers. It was a difficult time getting in and out of the church or just up and down Decker Road, and we tried very hard to develop a relationship with the construction workers, to be kind to them. And not just because they would then let us drive to the parking lot from wherever we were coming, but because it was the nice thing to do and because so many people were so rude to them. It was appalling the way people treated these construction workers. And we wanted them to know that we loved and appreciated them. Now, along that line, the ladies' Bible study has been postponed from starting this week until later. There's an announcement in the ledger. You're not going to be able to get in the church parking lot Wednesday or Thursday morning of this week. The parking lot's going to be sealed, and so if you need to come to the church on Wednesday or Thursday morning, you're going to have to park somewhere and walk. So the ladies' Bible study has been postponed. May 29th, Jaden Beery was baptized, Joe and Teresa. were here for the first time. June 12th, Andrew Trabulsi was here for the first service, and we tried having an overflow downstairs. I think there were about 40 people who were downstairs, and we appreciate your willingness to do that. We had Vacation Bible School that week, and Kyle did an excellent job leading us. Kosmowskis had decorated the float for the parade. They also did the decorations for Vacation Bible School and did an excellent job. June 26th, we prayed for our mission school kids who were going on a missions trip. Middle school kids going on a missions trip. Did I say that wrong? July 3rd, Ryan and Macy were here for the first time. They were here in the first service. And perhaps you've met them, nice young couple, coming to the membership class tonight. But there's a very good likelihood they'll probably only be here in the area for a matter of months. She's student teaching in Waterford. I think he's working from home, but I don't know. And then when she's done with her student teaching, they'll probably be moving on, but they wanted to join the church, so they're coming tonight. July 10th, we had a wave offering for the books for Arcadio, and appreciate so much your willingness to do that service for this onboard pastor of the cruise ship, for the staff. The wave offering last week was totally spontaneous, but appreciate your participation. $1,647 came in for David and Diane's travel expenses. And August 7th, Jackson and Emma Grismkowski were married, and praise the Lord for a wonderful year. Some people to recognize, 20-some years ago, a young couple moved to Walled Lake. They visited Lakes. She was very pregnant. They came 1 or 2 weeks, and then they disappeared. They were gone, and we thought, oh, that's it. But after a couple of weeks away, they showed up with a baby, and that was Cadence Wilson. And 5 years ago, Cadence joined the church. Praise the Lord for that, as well as Steve and Karen Safadine. 10 years ago, Bonnie Beagle, Bob and Michelle Boutsine, Kelly Cross, Dave and Julie Gaynor, Bob and Sue Harmon, Jessica Kent, Kay Martin, Dan and Brittany McGee, Bill Robertson, and Lou Ann Warren. 15 years ago, John and Lisa Blackburn and Kim Krause. 20 years ago, Bill and Darcel Broadwick, Rachel France, Mark and Barb Johnson, Rod and Naomi Knudsen, Dave and Renita Milburn, Mark and Sue Putty. 25 years ago, Kurt and Sue Largent, Scott Largent, and Donna Svoboda. And praise the Lord for these people who are members and have been faithfully serving the Lord here for so many years. Some family news. I told you David and Diane made it to Loha, and today is September 11th. And 21 years ago, we think about the tragedy inflicted on our country and how it changed us and changed some of our thinking and so forth. And it's a day that certainly we ought to remember. And two things stand out in my mind, or one thing especially, is Rachel France listed as a member, and that was the day that Rachel called the church. She was not aware of what was going on with airplanes in the country, but she was a young woman who was despairing of life, and she called the church. She didn't know what else to do, and we were a last resort. And I talked to Rachel for probably about an hour. I asked her, do you know what's going on today? And she said, no, what? And I said, about planes crashing? And she said, no, she didn't know. Well, a couple months later, Rachel got saved, and in January the next year, she was baptized. And what a special blessing she has been to us. Two announcements. One is the ladies' Bible study is being pushed back. Check the ledger for that announcement. And men, there are a few of us who meet on Wednesday mornings at Backyard Coney over in Wixom, and we read theology together. We meet at 7 o'clock at Backyard Coney. It's right on Pontiac Trail in Wixom. And if you're interested in joining us, we've taken the summer off, and we're getting back to it this coming Wednesday morning. Before we pray, we've been hearing a lot lately about student debt being paid off. But this we know. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, and he has paid our sin debt and forever changed us. Hallelujah for the cross. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our salvation. A sin debt that we could never pay. No one could ever pay. But you paid it through your Son. Thank you for that. We pray for this family here in Walled Lake and this officer. We pray for mercy, grace, and peace. We pray for Kurt Largen as he's home from the hospital and recuperating from surgery. We pray that you will give him some comfort and help him to recover. We commit him to you. We commit our time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever stopped to think that God has never had to stop and think? Praise the Lord, we serve an awesome God. The psalmist proclaimed, "Oh, how I love your word. It is my meditation all the day long." And God's word directs us to guard our thoughts, guard our minds, guard our heart and our tongues. What happens if we don't? I want to thank the elders for allowing me some time away from the pulpit this summer. Anne and I did take some vacation. It was very enjoyable, restful. When we were in town, I came to church every day. I was out of the pulpit, but I was not necessarily out of the office. Worked on a lot of different things. But the break from sermon preparation was very much needed. Talk more about that a little bit later in the service. Don't misunderstand. I love to study God's word. I love to write a sermon every week. I love to preach to you. I rarely get invited to preach other places, and that's fine with me. I'll preach other places, but you get me. You understand my humor or lack of. You understand my thought process. I enjoy watching you come in and pay attention. I like seeing you turn in your Bible. I like seeing you jot down a note. I love it. But I am grateful for the seven men who filled the pulpit while I was off. I do enjoy sharing the pulpit with men from Lakes. When the elders gave me this time off, I had hoped that we could fill all 9 weeks with men from Lakes. That didn't happen. But moving forward, I mean, I've always wanted to provide Brandon an opportunity to preach when he wanted. You know, it's been a joy having Gordon since he graduated from Moody, to have David here from time to time, and then for the last couple of years. And I enjoy sharing the pulpit with men from Lakes and will continue to do that. In the spring of 2020, Mark Dever, I hope you recognize that name, Mark Dever of Nine Marks Ministry, predicted that during or because of COVID, he predicted that 25% of pastors in America would resign. I heard him say it. I was listening to the podcast, and I thought, Mark was wrong. It was 38%. 38%. Of American pastors, that's big churches, little churches, every denomination across the spectrum. That's churches with good theology, and that's churches who have no understanding of the gospel. 38% of pastors resigned in the last 2 years. Some of them were ill. Some of them died. Others, either their own personal struggles or because of things in the church. I sat at the kitchen table of a family at Lakes, and he explained to me about his cousin who was pastoring in New Jersey and how hard it was to pastor during COVID. People fighting about masks, wearing masks, not wearing masks, about this, that, or the other thing, meeting in person, not meeting in person, and people arguing and people fighting with the pastor and people fighting with the leadership of the church. And they're explaining to me how awful this has been for his cousin and that his cousin is resigning. And then they told me they were leaving Lakes because we did not require people to wear masks. Don't you see the connection here? Then they said, the elders, Lakes elders, don't care. I told them they were wrong. It was an agonizing time for everybody. But for those of us who are called to lead the church, we didn't take this lightly. We agonized over decisions. We talked to other churches. What are you doing? Why? How? Whatever. We sought counsel. And we tried to make decisions. They said the Lakes elders don't care. I said, you're wrong. This morning is not about that family, and this morning is not about me. Rather, it's about God's amazing grace and how the Lord desires to work in our lives, even during difficult times. About 40 to 50 people left Lakes during COVID. And some of them really affected me. Some of them I did not handle well. Now please turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you got out of Sunday school on time, you know that we did not get out of the first service on time. And, I believe there's some things we need to cover today, and I think this will be helpful for all of us. I encourage you to examine your own heart. 1 Thessalonians, you have to love the church in Thessalonica. Acts chapter 17 tells us about the gospel coming to Thessalonica. We know that Paul was there, Silas was there, Dr. Luke was there, Timothy was there. There may have been others that we don't know of, but at least those four guys were there when the gospel went to Thessalonica, and the gospel was proclaimed, and people were saved, and 2,000 years later, we still rejoice over that amazing news. Then there was a counterattack by the enemy. Paul and Silas were chased out of town. It appears as though Dr. Luke and Timothy stayed. Just 2 weeks after that, Paul wrote a letter. It's this letter, 1 Thessalonians. Will you join me in standing? Follow along as I read, beginning chapter 1, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we may need not say anything, for they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Heavenly Father, Lord, use these verses from 1 Thessalonians to speak to us about our heart. Help us not to look around and think about others, to judge others or whatever, but to think about ourselves and what you have for us today. Speak to our hearts. Use your word. We commit it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I hope you picked up a copy of the outline on the cart out in the lobby. I hope you get back into the habit of doing that. If you'd like to go get one now, feel free to go and do that. What we're going to be doing today is just a little bit different than what we normally do. I'm going to be reading more verses from 1 Thessalonians. I will give you the blanks to fill in, the outline, and then we'll comment on it. So you follow along here. And the first thing we want to look at today, and there are three things. The first thing is the issue of the heart. And this is 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 8. Follow along with me. 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 8. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God, who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother, taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. There are two blanks to fill in here. The first one is the proclamation of the gospel and the gentleness of the gospel. The proclamation of the gospel and the gentleness of the gospel. Notice the proclamation of the gospel was not to please men, it was to please God. It was for the glory of God. And the gospel impact was manifested in two ways in Thessalonica. Some of them were saved, and others ran Paul and Silas out of town. There was an acceptance of the gospel and a rejection of the gospel. It's pretty extreme. But notice the gentleness of the gospel in verse 7. Paul says he came to them like a nursing mother. What's that? Gentleness. Affection. The gospel is not rude. The gospel is not ugly. The proclaimers of the gospel aren't rude or ugly. Gentle, affectionately. I'd like to think that characteristically, this is how I am towards you. Some people left Lakes just prior to the pandemic, They left abruptly. They left rudely. They left with no effort to resolve a conflict, a misunderstanding. No discussion. Just totally cut us off. They're leaving wounded, Ann and I. Then COVID hit. And the elders were trying to figure out what to do, how to do it. We prayed, we talked, we sought counsel. And just a note of comment, this is not an explanation. This is not an attack. This is not an excuse. And this is not just what was going on at Lakes. I don't know how much contact you have with other churches. I have contact with a lot of other churches. And this was going on everywhere. There is no shortage of opinions. There's no shortage of scientific fact contradicting. There's no shortage of speculation. Speculation by politicians, by the media, by the medical community. And there is no shortage of opinions from people in churches, including people from Lakes. Everyone had an opinion. And in our living room, we felt very comfortable giving our opinion to the television and whoever was on the screen. Some of you told me you yelled at the television. Whoever was on there didn't hear you. So we expressed our opinions to the TV, to our spouse, to our kids, or whoever we could call or text, and we did. We expressed our opinions not just about the president, the last one or this one, the governor, Dr. Fauci, or the elders. People left Lakes. We received texts, emails, phone calls. No one asked if we could meet. Not one person asked, could we meet? He said, well, Don, during COVID, were we allowed to meet? Yeah. I'll come stand in front of the street in your house, at your house. You can stand on the porch and we can talk. There's a way. You don't want to come to my house. You don't want me in your house. There's a way we can talk. Sending a text, an email, leaving a voicemail in the night when you know no one's going to answer, or sending one letter, snail mail, we're leaving. That's not the way. That is not the way. We are the family of God. We are the body of Christ. And we don't do that. There was a family who hadn't been here for a year. During that year, as most of you know, you were getting texts or calls or emails from me or the other elders. This family was too. This family was getting the texts, the calls, and all of that. And I get an email. It says, we're leaving Lakes. And I hit reply. I address them. And then I put, in caps, WHAT, ? And then I typed an email, not in caps. And he said, I yelled at him. I said, can we meet? They came to my office. I did two things. First, I apologized. I'm sorry I offended you. And the second thing, will you forgive me? And they both graciously said that they forgave me for writing what in all caps. He promptly left my office and called some of you and said that I yelled at him. He just forgave me, or he said he did. But then he called you and said I yelled at him. I want you to know I didn't yell at him. I typed what in all caps. Over the course of COVID, as people left without meeting, I allowed my heart to get hard toward people. I wasn't gentle and affectionate. Except for that family, I don't think anyone else perceived rudeness in me or whatever, anything inappropriate, but in my heart, I was not gracious. I was not kind. And I just had a very difficult time, people leaving lakes that we had known for years or decades, and they didn't even want to talk. They made up their mind, totally independent. And left. One guy left over the election. He came in, he wrote a letter, and he brought it to me. He sat in my office, and he basically critiqued my preaching, said it wasn't political enough, that I didn't preach hard enough to get Donald Trump elected. I said, that's not my job. And as he critiqued my preaching, and this is how it could be more political and whatever, he reached over, he put his hand on my knee, and he said, don't take this personally. And I said, that's impossible, because you're talking about my preaching. But this isn't about me. This is about my responsibility as a shepherd to feed the flock. And my responsibility as a shepherd to feed the flock is not political. I know there are others of you who wish I would be more political. I pray that I never will be. But don't say to me, don't take this personally. It's incredibly personally. It is. This is my job. This is my calling. It was personal. But just because someone can't see my heart does not mean that my heart was spiritually healthy. And I was struggling. I was struggling emotionally. Let's look at the next passage, 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 through 12. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. While we proclaim to you the gospel of God, you are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. The first blank here is the presentation of the gospel. In the presentation of the gospel deserves our diligence. It deserves blameless proclaimers. It deserves our participation in the gospel like a parent, gentle and affectionate like a mother, instructional and encouraging like a father. Now, let me just interrupt myself to say, men, does this describe you as a father, instructional and encouraging? Or are you belittling? Are you rude? Are you going to try to toughen up your boys by treating them gruff when the Bible says instructional and encouraging like a father. Paul says, listen, this is how I came to you. But notice also the objective of the gospel. The objective of the gospel is to prepare us and to lead us into kingdom living here and eternally. That's the purpose of the Word of God, whether we're reading it personally, privately, or as a family, or in a Sunday school class or small group, or here on a Sunday morning. The purpose of the Word of God is to prepare us to kingdom living here and eternally. But we have to ask ourselves the question, was Paul a gentle mother or an encouraging father? And the answer is yup. He was both. And we thank the Lord for the exemplary testimony of Paul to not only the Thessalonian believers, but to others as well. His words, his actions, his heart, his secret attitudes. And this is what the Lord has been teaching me. The book, Gentle and Lowly, was a huge help to me. I had heard people comment about how good the book was, and so Ann and I were getting ready for our cruise, I grabbed a copy and threw it in and thought, I'll read this on the cruise. And, you know, I don't go into a lot of detail here, but on a cruise ship, you know, I'll go eat breakfast. I usually get up before Ann, and I'd go eat breakfast. I'd take something back to the room for her. We didn't always eat lunch together, but we always ate dinner together. And I'm sitting on the deck of a cruise ship, and I'm reading the introduction to the book, Gentle and Lowly. And God smacks me over the head with a 2x4. And I'm pretending to wipe my mouth with my napkin, but I'm wiping my eyes. God confronted my heart. God rebuked me, and it was good. Look at verse 13. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from our own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out and displeased God and opposed all mankind by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them at last. Here are the blanks: the reception of the gospel and the imitation of the gospel. And there's a very important point to make about imitation. It's not just follow the leader, but imitation in the scripture is because of a transformed heart. Because we've been redeemed, because we've been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're being spiritually transformed and directed to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. This is a spiritual transformation and a spiritual imitation. Now, you know, before the service, the PowerPoint on the slides, and you've probably noticed the last however many months, in the bottom corner of the screen, there's a countdown clock, and it's that long until the service begins. And Declan, who usually sits with me on Sunday morning, sweet Declan, who may not get some things, but he catches a lot of things, he caught the clock. And he'd say, Grandpa, 3:27. Yep, there's 3 minutes and 27 seconds till the service starts. Grandpa, 2 minutes, or 2:21. Yep, 2 minutes and 21 seconds. When it gets to 3 seconds, he goes 3:21, and then this is what he does. He turns and he looks over here and he says, Hey, Wilson, it's time. When Gordon was praying this morning, and his prayer was coming to an end, Declan said, "Amen." And Gordon said, "Amen." Dave Dunham was sitting behind us. Dave said, "Amen." Declan said, "Amen." Brandon said, "Amen." And Declan said, "Amen." Does Declan know what amen means? But you know what? Our kids, from the littlest ones to the biggest ones, they may not understand. But they need to see and they need to hear. And they see us do this, and they hear that we don't do that. They see us do this, and maybe even they hear why we do this, and they grow up and they do this too. And Lord willing, there comes a day when the light bulb comes on and they say, "Oh, this is why Mom and Dad do this. This is why my Sunday school teacher does this. This is why the pastor does this. And I want to do that too." And if Declan's going to imitate anybody, I just assume it's Gordon and Dave and Brandon. Of course, his mom and dad. And that's what we want for the kids of our church. But listen, in Thessalonica, it wasn't just a matter of doing this. It was a matter of my heart has been transformed, and now I am following godly people in the doing of godly things. Last week we saw in the Great Commission, we teach them to obey everything. Yes, we teach them to obey everything. This is a total transformation. Romans 12 tells us this is a heart issue. This is an act of worship. And Lord willing, we're going to look at that next week. But notice the Thessalonians received the word. They were imitators of godliness. They suffered for the gospel, and they were transformed by the gospel. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to summarize chapter 3. Paul and the fledgling church were separated because of bad people. Bad people doing evil things. And there is a point of application here. If Christ followers are separated, it ought not to be because one or both of us have done bad things. If that happens, then we have to avoid each other. We're in mire, and we see down the way somebody who I've wronged or they've wronged me. We're not going to have a sweet reunion in the soup aisle. We're going to avoid each other. And that's not right. That's not right. If we are separated, it ought not to be because somebody acted badly. Look at chapter 3, verse 11. "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints." This is Paul's desire for the church. When we see each other, it ought to be a sweet reunion, not a tense meeting or worse. We may have different opinions about masks and vaccines or whatever. We may disagree about decisions that the elders have made. But let me just say, the elders haven't made any decision lightly. We may have made a decision that you didn't like or we wished were different. But it wasn't because we didn't care. That's harsh. the elders don't care. And in my heart, I didn't respond well. And that's the first issue, was my heart. And it's your heart. The second issue has to do with sermon prep, which may seem really odd to you. But let me just pause here and stop to say that I praise the Lord that during this time, there have been two men who have spoken truth into my life. One of them is Daryl, and the other one is my pastor friend, Fred Frohman. Both godly men who were a huge help to me. And as COVID progressed and ministry as we knew it was changing, either temporarily or permanently, there were adjustments that happened that you saw publicly, and there were plenty of things that happened behind the scenes that you didn't see. But during this time, pastor friends of mine, who very much like me, stand in front of their congregation every week and open God's word and preach, were struggling. I love to preach. I love to study. I love to prepare sermons. And so do these guys. I saw a guy last week who said to me, a pastor friend of mine said to me, "Hey, was your time off this summer because of sermon prep?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I've been struggling." I have a routine that I've developed through the years that I do all of my study in advance. You know, I go to Florida for a reading week in January, and I'm usually reading 1 Corinthians or whatever I'm going to preach next. And I do that, have some time in the fall and some time in the summer that I try to take to do advanced reading. But on Tuesday and Wednesday, I do other study, word studies and Greek studies and whatever. And so Tuesday and Wednesday, I try to finish all my study. And Thursday morning, I get alone with my Bible, some paper, and a pen. I put all my books away. It's my Bible, paper, and pen. Now, the stuff I've studied is in there somewhere, hopefully. I sit down and I write out my sermon almost word for word from beginning to end. Then I make an outline for Barb, PowerPoint, give it to Barb, and on Friday I type my sermon. Let me give you an illustration. On June 26th of this year, I preached the last message from 1 Corinthians 7, the last couple verses of 1 Corinthians 7. 3 days earlier, I sat down in my study with my Bible, the paper and pen, and I wrote out the sermon. I got done. I wadded it up and threw it away. I started over. Wrote it out. Wadded it up, threw it away. I couldn't get my thoughts organized. I couldn't express what needed to be expressed the way it needed to be expressed. This doesn't take 15 minutes. Before I type my sermon, there's 12 pages of handwritten notes. It takes a while. That Thursday, I couldn't. I went in on Friday, threw away the notes that were on my desk, threw them away, started over. Nine times. And the ninth one, I was like, I'm glad I'm not preaching for the next 2 months. I was struggling. And other guys are too. Why? I'm not exactly sure why. You know the name Alistair Begg? Alistair Begg stood up at his pastor's conference in May. I didn't go, but Daryl did. And Alistair Begg did a whole session about pastoring during COVID. Daryl said, I thought I was listening to Don McGee. And Alistair Begg said, in front of 1,000 pastors, during COVID, Sunday kept coming faster and faster every week. Alistair Begg, the guy who's on the radio nationally, the guy who writes books, he said he couldn't keep up. He couldn't get it done. He was struggling. Daryl sat in my office after he got home from the Begg conference, and we talked. Of course, just a few weeks before that, I had been in the hospital. My health is fine, you know, no issues. Daryl sat in my office after the Begg conference and said, you know, we were supposed to have an elders meeting when you went into the hospital. And I said, yeah, I know. He said, we met anyway. I said, well, I didn't know that. And he said, we talked about you. One of you said to me when I announced that I would be out of the pulpit July and August, one of you said to me, am I being punished by the elders for something? No. I was being loved. I was being cared for by the elders on your behalf. You didn't know, and at that point in time, I'm not sure what anybody would have said to you that would have made you understand. I'm not sure this makes you understand. I loved last Sunday. I can't say I was looking forward to this Sunday as much as last Sunday. But this Sunday needed to happen. And for those of you who prayed for me and for Ann, thank you. The third issue, my heart, sermon prep. Third issue is churches in conflict. Churches have always been in conflict. They always will be in conflict. Churches are made up of sinful humans, and so there will always be conflict. Churches always have a target on them, and Satan will always shoot at us. But during COVID, church conflict has been given steroids. I'm at a point in my life, I'm the old guy. The pastor's coalition, there's one other guy my age. Everybody else is younger, and a lot of them are much younger. And when churches or pastors have conflict, they call the old guys. When I was a young man, I didn't have godly older pastors in my life. You know, I tell you why some point if you're interested, but I didn't have older guys. And there was one point I reached out to some older guys who said, I'm probably not the guy you should call. Very discouraging for a young man. And I determined that when I was older, I was not going to be that guy. Because of my love for pastors and my love for the Church of Jesus Christ, I don't know if Brandon said it this service. He said it in the first service. I had to be out in the hall, unfortunately, at the beginning of this service. But he said, we love the church because we love the family of God or the body of Christ. During COVID, there have been churches, sister churches in our area, and some not necessarily in our area, who've been going through conflict, and some of them have called me. I don't feel like I can turn them away because of what happened to me 35 years ago. I feel like I need to help or find them help. I feel like that's my gospel duty. And there have been some churches with real conflict. And, you know, we've had our issues as a church. We've had people leave. We've had our disagreements about masks and vaccines and elections and, you know, whatever else, but not like other churches. Some of you who are on Facebook are probably keenly aware that there are two major nationally known churches that had a Facebook coup. And they kicked their pastor out through Facebook. That ought not to be. How can you have a coup on Facebook and fire your pastor? Churches in conflict and pastors in conflict, and some are done and resolved, and others are still ongoing. COVID has intensified all of this. And we need to pray for the health of Lakes. COVID has allowed people to take every molehill and make it a mountain. And unfortunately, Christians are guilty of that as well. So, just wrap this up in some application. Praise the Lord, God's been dealing with my heart. Again, I want to commend the book, Gentle and Lowly. It was a huge help. There are some free copies available out in the lobby. Of course, I relied a lot on the scripture, and I took time this summer to read whole Bible books. 1 Thessalonians was easy, Colossians was easy, Philippians was easy, but I took the time to read 1 Corinthians at one sitting again because I knew we'd get back to 1 Corinthians 8 again sometime. I read the book of Isaiah in one sitting, 66 chapters, and it was awesome. Pray for me. Several people came up to me after the first service and said, I will pray for you on Thursday morning, every Thursday morning. Thank you. Please do. Pray for our health, spiritual health as a church, our sister churches. Pray for each other. Pray for me, sermon prep, proclamation of the word. Pray for you. Pray for each other, that when we come in, our hearts would be prepared, our mind would be open to the Word of God. Pray for sister churches and their pastors. Pray for humility and repentance, confession, forgiveness, and restoration. We have people who wear masks and people who don't get vaccinated and everything in between. And listen, pray that we won't judge each other. There's a Lakes man who stopped coming because he walked in one Sunday, and I don't know which side, but he said on the side of the church, there were a couple people sitting over there with masks. And he said, I looked at them, I scoffed, shook my head, and thought to myself, those people have weak faith. and I'm not coming if they're going to come and wear their masks. Don't. Don't do that. There are people who have different opinions than you, do things differently than the way you do. But let's come alongside and help one another and encourage one another and seek to understand one another. He's back. Today may have raised more questions than it answered. Let's talk. Everything I've raised today, I am willing to talk about. You have questions about what was going on in my heart, my mind, I'll be happy to talk to you and try to answer your questions. You have questions about something that the elders did and why. Let's get together and talk about it. You don't want to talk to me, talk to one of the other elders. You know, you want to get together, your place, my office, just don't put your hand on my knee and say, don't take it personally. You know, I'm serious about that. This is my calling. I cannot separate Don McGee, the person, from Don McGee, the under-shepherd. I can't do that. Maybe there are other people who do, I don't know, but I can't. But if you do that, just really pray for me that I don't punch you. I won't punch you, because then I would be disqualified. I love you. I love being the pastor at Lakes, and I struggle, just like everyone else does. I'm not elevated to a different level of spirituality. I have feet of clay, and if what I've gone through can help you, then great. And if you would like to talk, I am more than willing. I had hoped that we could close in a song, but let's just close with this. May grace and peace be yours in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.